We're going to go to Deuteronomy this morning, chapter number 24, Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, and want to read a passage to you that is found in the context of the children of Israel who had left Egypt and had then spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And after spending 40 years wandering in the desert, wandering in the wilderness, they are now poised. They are in position to enter into the land that God had promised Abraham so many years before. And Moses is not going to go into that land with them, but just before they go in, it is Moses who hears from God and is giving them this word of instruction of, hey, as you go in, there's something that I need for you to remember, and there's something that I need for you to do. All right? I need for you to remember something, and I need for you to do something. And I want you to see today how it applies in our lives as well. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse number 17, it tells us this. Do not deprive. Now, before I keep reading, the children of Israel, they're going into the promised land. What is God saying? I want you to remember something, and I want you to do something. Are you with me? That's what we're looking for in these verses. Here's what I want you to remember. Here's what I want you to do. All right? Here's what I want you to say it for me. Remember? Come on. Here's what I want you to do. Catch that. Do not deprive the foreigner or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That is why I command you to do this. When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. I'm going to tell you as I stand before you, I want God to bless me in all the work of my hands. I don't want to do stuff that's not blessed by God, right? If I go to school, I want to go to school blessed by God. If I go to work, I want to go to work blessed by God. With my family, I want my family to be blessed by God. I want my kids blessed by God. I don't want to do anything apart from the blessing. Are you with me? Come on. You want that as well. That's what we want. So this applies to us. That I may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. They would shake those branches for the olives to fall out. And he's saying, if there's still some olives up there when you're done, don't go back and get them. Leave them there. He says, leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. This is the principle that we see when we read the book of Ruth, where when she went out to glean in the field, she's going out to pick up what was left over. So you're going to leave some grapes. Do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I command you to do this. Somebody say, God means business. He does. It's a command from God. Father, in Jesus' name, thanks so much for your word. Help us to apply this in our lives, Lord God, for although we are not in the exact same experience, we recognize today that our experience is so much like the children of Israel. And what they went through in their lives was a picture. It was a type. Even Moses being a type, a picture of Christ who would come as a deliverer. This is a picture of what you came and did in our lives as well. So we recognize the truth, the principle, the principles of this passage, Lord God, are just as real in our life today as they were in that day as well. Help us to apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name. Church, would you pray with me? Lord, bless me. Come on, church, pray it. Lord, bless me so that I can be a blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You don't do a lot of harvesting in the desert. When you're in the desert, when you're out there in a wasteland, there's not a lot of harvesting to be done. Plants don't grow in a dry, barren land. And most of Israel, by the time we get to the text that we've just read, they've never experienced harvest. They came out of Egypt, but as you will recall with me, when they hit the when they first came out of Egypt and they crossed over the Red Sea when it parted and they were there, Moses sent spies into the promised land to check things out. And they came back and they said there's grapes and all kinds of great fruits and vegetables and things. But if you remember with me, 10 of the spies said, but we can't take the land. These guys are like giants over there. We can't go in there. And just Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can. We can go in. But because the 10 said no, they persuaded the people to not go in. And God said, here's what we're going to do now. Because of all this happened, he said, everybody who is over the age of 20, who's over the age of 20 in this room? Let's make it easier. Who's, nice try. Who's Who's, you have to be 20 to get Rita's. No, just kidding. Who's, I set you up. Who's under the age of 20? All right, the only people raising their hand are people who are over the age of 20. Yes, so there's a few in here. Yeah, there's a number of you. You're under it. So only those people are going to go into the promised land. Everybody else is going to die in the desert. So the kids, the teenagers, very young adults, they lived in Egypt. They remember what it was like to live in Egypt. But no one else who goes into the promised land knows what Egypt is like. If you had been born 3 years into the desert, and now you are 37 years old, and it's time to go into the promised land, you've never harvested anything. You've never picked an apple. You've never seen an orange. You've never had a grape. You've never had a mango. You've never had Island Fusion Ritas. You've never had anything. You've had one thing and one thing only for all your life. What was it? Manna. That is it. You've had nothing other than manna your whole life. You've never eaten anything else. Can you imagine trying to describe mangoes to someone who has never had fruit in their life? They've never had it. These people would just get up in the morning. They would walk outside. The Bible says the manna was like a coriander seed. It would just be on the ground. They would gather it up. They would grind it up. They would make like a bread with it. All they had was that. That is all they've had for all these years. But now things are about to change. Now it is about the time to go in. But for all those years, that was all they had. When my wife and I were leaving Valley Forge Christian College when I first graduated, we had no money. We didn't have much of anything. And I had enough money that I rented a U-Haul truck. And I'll never forget, I had $27 to my name after I rented the truck. $27. We loaded up the U-Haul truck. And before I could leave the campus, the director of food operations of the college called me. And he said, hey, I have a turkey left over from the, I was leaving in December. I finished school in the December semester. He said, I have a turkey left over that I couldn't use. I can't save it. Do you want it? What do you think my answer was? Of course I wanted it. Yeah, I was like, stop asking stupid questions and give me the turkey. No, I didn't say that. Yeah. I was like, yes, I want the turkey. So I go over to the kitchen and I get the, it was huge. It was a big turkey. I bring it back. We load the turkey up with all of our stuff. We drive to New Jersey where we were moving to at that time, unload the truck, went and bought 20-some dollars worth of groceries, put what little bit was in the cabinet, and my wife did her wonders with it, and she makes a great turkey, and she baked the turkey. She roasted the turkey, and she took it out. And guess what I had for dinner that night? And guess what I had for dinner the next night? And guess what I had the day after that? And guess what I had for lunch the next day? And guess what I ate that weekend? I had turkey, turkey, turkey. Pavo, pavo, pavo. I don't know how to say it in French. I just had turkey. All I had was turkey. And just about the time that the turkey was done, we managed to milk that turkey out. I don't guess you can milk a turkey, but you know what I mean. We managed to stretch that turkey out to where it lasted almost 2 weeks, and we were about out of food, and we had no money. And then a knock came on my door one night, and I went and I opened the door. And there were several women from the women's ministries from our church. We're the women who work in women's ministries in our church. Aren't they awesome? This is the kind of thing Sister Wendy and her team would have done. They were standing there at my door. I opened the door. There were the women's ministry from the church. Oh, they came to welcome us to the community. We're so glad you're here. And there's a woman right in the front. She has this giant basket in her arms. And there's a few random little canned goods that are all wrapping around one thing. What's in the middle? A turkey. And so I put that turkey in the oven. And you know what I had for dinner the next night? And guess what I had the day after that? And guess what I ate for lunch the next day? And guess what I had that weekend? And the next day, I ate turkey, turkey, turkey. I will never fault the children of Israel for complaining about the manna. I won't. Because after a month of turkey, I was just like, anything, anything other than turkey. But you know what? God did provide for us. He did provide for our needs. To God be the glory. In fact, we had some supernatural things happen in that time other than that where God really provided for us. But for the children of Israel, all they've had is the same thing every day. All they've had is manna. It's the only thing they've ever had. But now they're heading into a land where they're going to reap harvest, where they're going to pick fruit, where they're going to harvest grain and make bread. And they're ready to go in there, and it's going to be amazing. They're going to get all these things. I've been in Puerto Rico many times, and you catch it at the right season. There can be so many mangoes that you just pull your car over, and we're just picking them up off the ground, where they're just falling off the trees, perfectly ripe. They're delicious. Now I go to the store and they're like $2 for $3. I'm like, come on, I just picked these up off the ground. Yeah, and they're everywhere. And Israel's about to experience this kind of thing. They're about to go in and get fruits and vegetables. And you remember when they left Egypt that one of the things they complained about was they wanted the food. And they've had no food all this time. And they're finally trying to head into this place of abundance where they're going to get all this stuff they've never had. And these words that we've read today are written to these people. It is, you're about to get blessed. God tells them, you're about to be blessed. And then he tells them, when you are, I need for you to remember this, and I need for you to do this. All right? I need for you to remember this, and I need for you to do this. Come on, God has blessed me in my life. Who's blessed by God? Amen? We're blessed to live in the land we live. For all the good, the bad, faults, up, down, whatever, we're very fortunate to live where we live at this time. We are, compared to so much of the rest of the world, we very much are. We live in a blessed land. That doesn't mean we never go through tough times, but compared to so much of the world, come on, we lived in a very blessed place on the earth, a very blessed land, and we're very fortunate in that regard. They're going to a place of blessing where he gives them this word. Here's what he tells them, and I believe it's a word that was true for them and a word that is true for us as well. He tells them, when you get in there, remember that you were a slave. Remember that you were a slave. Now, this sandwiches the whole thing. In verse 18 and in verse 22, as he starts the passage and at the end of the passage, on both occasions, he says, remember that you were a slave. Now, so just to illustrate this for you, I took this from the Melissa's office, actually. So, this is remember you were a slave, and this is remember you were a slave, and then there's going to be some blessing. So he sandwiches it in there. Should I eat this just to help you to understand it? No. I'd throw them at you, but my wife will fuss at me after church. When I throw food, my wife says, don't throw food in the sanctuary. I'm watching her face. She said, give it to me. Sister Joan is reaching her hands out. Yeah. So, you can crumble those up on your icy if you get there first after service. Remember you were a slave is what everything is sandwiched between. All right? So remember that all along. We're looking at this as this foundation that he establishes here. Why is this so important to remember that? Recall with me Jesus' parable of two individuals who were forgiven. One man was called before the individual who he owed a great sum of money to. Let's try to use it in our way of thinking in our money. Let's say he owed this guy $1 million. So he's called in and he owes this guy $1 million. The guy says, it's time to pay me $1 million. I don't have any money. Please have mercy on me. He says, nope, we're going to lock you up until you can pay it. I don't know how you ever pay it locked up, but that's what he says. We're going to lock you up until you can pay it. He says, please, please forgive me. Please have mercy on me. And the guy does. The guy says, you know what? Fair enough. You're off the hook. Slate's clean. You can go. Come on. Wouldn't you love it if you got a phone call this evening that says you don't owe anybody anything else anymore? Right? That'll be great. So he gets there. He leaves. He's blessed. And then on the way, he sees a guy who borrowed $10 from him. He said, hey, you got that $10? And the guy says, no, I don't have any money now. And he grabs him and he hits him and he locks it. And he says, we're going to lock you up until you can pay me the $10. It's crazy. What is, he forgot what had been done for him. Because he forgot what had happened for him, he didn't extend that same grace to others. God's saying you can't forget where you came from. Don't forget where God brought you from. Don't forget what you were delivered from. Don't forget the time when you were in need. Remember where you came from. And all of us were slaves to sin. If you're not careful, you can be in church so long that you forget that you weren't always saved. And you can be in church so long that somebody else comes in who doesn't know church and you'll kind of be like, what is wrong with them? Why do they act? Why do they talk like that? Why? You used to talk like that. You used to act like that. We weren't always saved. He's saying, don't, when you get blessed, he said, when you get blessed, don't be sitting around thinking, yeah, look what I did. No, don't forget where you came from is what he says. In the New Testament, Peter writes it like this. He says, but you are a chosen people. We love saying these things about ourselves. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness, that's where we were, into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Don't forget that you were a slave. We were bound by sin. Jesus came to set us free. And that jumps to the second thing that God wanted them to remember. Don't forget that you were redeemed. You were redeemed. He said, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That is why I command you to do this. They're being told to remember something so that they can receive a command to do something. God redeemed them. They weren't slaves anymore. They were redeemed. But here was the thing. Did they deliver themselves? They did not. They did not deliver themselves. Israel did not get together and build some army and go overthrow the Egyptian empire and get themselves free. That's not how they got out. How did they get out? Moses came with a staff, and through all the series of plagues, God had supernaturally, miraculously delivered them. They didn't get themselves out of Egypt. God brought them out. God knew what would happen. They'd get to the promised land and get a nice house and get some food in the cabinets and get a nice clothes on and start saying, I've done pretty good for myself. I've done all right for myself. Look at me doing all right for myself. And God's saying, no. You did not do all right for yourself. I did this for you. We could make the same mistake if we weren't careful. We get saved. We start growing in our walk with God. God blesses us. We're doing better. We say, well, hey, look at me. I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing all right. And God's like, no. You're not doing all right. You were a slave and I redeemed you. I brought you out. I blessed you. I provided this for you. He doesn't want us to forget what he did in our lives and where we came from. Some of us without Christ in our lives, we'd be dead now, locked up. Our families could have fallen apart because we're just pursuing money or position or power and a wreck. Just anything could have happened in our lives. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It is according to his great mercy that we are saved. Amen? God's been good to us. And I'll tell you, if you're here today and you've never experienced the amazing grace of God, he wants you to. He wants you to experience it as well. But our call is this. You were a slave. You were redeemed. And then he tells them this one. You will harvest. Now, after this is going to come a command. But first things first. You were a slave. You were redeemed. You will harvest. He says this. When you reap your harvest. When you are harvesting. Somebody say when. He didn't say if. He didn't say, if you harvest. He said, when. He said, when. When you harvest. He's saying, when you get blessed. God didn't say, if I bless you. He said, when I bless you. When I bless you. Harvest was going to come, and it was going to come because they were going to be living in a place of faith and in a place of obedience where they were following God and God was going to bless them. Now, following God is not some get-rich-quick scheme. It's not some pyramid scheme where you follow God just to get rich. That's not what we do. But the fact of the matter is, when you walk in faith and you walk in obedience, God honors his word and he blesses those who trust in him. Come on. Amen? He does. He provides for us. He meets our needs. He blesses us beyond. That was going to happen in their lives as well. When we put God first in our work, when we put God first in our families, when we put God first in our finances, when we put God first in our ministries, when we seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, all these things are added unto us, the Bible tells us. So here comes the challenge. He says, you were a slave, you were redeemed, you will harvest, and then we have to remember this, but it's not all for you. It's not all for you. I want to read the verses to you again. He said this, when you are harvesting in your field, when, and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. He said, when you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over them. Again, leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. What was he saying? I'm going to bless you, but what you get, it's not all for you. It's not all for you. Come on, we want to be blessed by God, right? That when God opens the windows of heaven and pours out on us, when God pours out on me in my life, what I get, it's not all for me. It's not supposed to be all for me. It's supposed to be shared. That was the whole plan of God all along the way. Part of preparing for the promises of God for them was understanding where they had come from and that God was going to bless them to be a blessing. It's the same in our lives as well. It's a great misunderstanding to want God to pour out on our lives simply so that we can have more stuff for ourselves. That is never what God had in mind. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing. Because you see, God has a heart for those who are in need. God has a great heart for those who are in lack and those who are in need. So that's why he does this. And this is so important to understand, because I've heard people say this before along the way. I've heard people say, if God loves everyone, and if God is all powerful, then why are there people who are starving? Why are there people with no water? Why are there people who are not clothed? Why are there people in such terrible situations? If God is truly a God of love who loves everyone, and nothing is too hard for God, then why are there people in those situations? Why does that happen? And it's a question that could arise. And the answer to that question is, God does do something about it. God gave them you. I'm glad I got an amen off of that. God gave them you. You are the answer to that. I am the answer to that. That's the scriptural principle that is given to us here. God gave them us. We are the ones who are there to meet the need. He blesses those who follow him in faith and obedience. But catch this. If I eat all my grapes, if I eat all my olives, if I eat all my wheat, if I spend all my resources on myself, then the foreigner, the refugee, the stranger, the widow, the orphan starve. And it's not because God didn't do anything. It's because I didn't. It's too quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Because I didn't. We're the answer. We're who God gave. Jesus illustrated it in a great parable in Matthew chapter number 25. It's the parable where Jesus told of the separation of the sheep and the goats. And they're brought before him and they're separated, the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. And if you recall in the account, he says to the sheep, they're going to enter into the blessing of God. He said, because when I was hungry, you fed me. He said, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was a prisoner, you came to see me. He said, and what do they say back? They say, when? When did we see you? When did we see you hungry and naked and thirsty? When did we see that? And he says to them, as you've done it unto the least of these, so you've done it unto me. And then he turns to the other ones and he says, depart from me. He said, because when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me to drink. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was in prison, you didn't visit me. And they say, but when? When did we see you? We didn't see you. And he says, no, because you didn't do it unto the least of these, so you didn't do it unto me. And I want you to catch this, that the separation of the sheep and the goats is not based on who said Jesus is Lord. Did you catch that? Because there were people on the goat side, if you had asked them, they would have said, Jesus is Lord. But Jesus is saying, you just said it. It was just lip service. It was just lip service. You see, it's not that feeding the hungry and clothing the naked is what makes me a Christian. It's that if I'm a Christian, I do those things. Are you with me? It's not what makes me saved is what Jesus did. The work of the cross is what redeems us. But if we've been redeemed, we then do these things. Now, here's what's so important for us because of where we live. We live in a blessed land. We live in a blessed land. And it's too easy for us to not see people in need. I know we see it sometimes, but we don't always see it. We tend to see it on the TV. We tend to hear about it in places. But here's the thing. I have to believe that probably about every single person, it's probably every single person in this room. If you had opened your door this morning and there had been a child on your porch and that child was standing there naked and hungry, you would not ask that child any questions. You would not say, what religion are you? What language did you speak? Are you legal or not? Where'd you come from? What'd your parents do to get you in this situation? You'd ask no questions. You would meet the needs of that child. You know why? Because they're standing in front of your face. But when the kid is on the news, it's too easy to ignore the child because he's not in front of me. And if there's ever a group of people who have risk of being in the position where they stand before God and say, when did I see you? It's people who live in the United States of America. Because we don't always see it. It's not in front of our face. Our neighbors are okay. The people at school are okay. The people at work are okay. And if we're not careful, it would be easy for us to one day stand before God and we'll go, when did I see you? I didn't see you. If I'd have seen you, I'd have done something. It's like, no. But we do. We're aware of it. We know. We know the need is there. We know the need is there. Now, if I live in a place where the need is right beside me, like I said with that child, then of course I respond because it's right there. But when I live in a place where the need isn't always right in front of me, then it means I've got to be proactive to meet the needs. Are you with me? I've got to do something about it. I've got to sponsor a child through World Vision or Latin American Child Care or Compassion International. I've got to give to ministries like Convoy of Hope that are feeding the hungry and clothing the naked while preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've got to purposefully go and visit the nursing home or the shut-in or the prison and go see somebody. We have to make ourselves go and find those individuals because we're not off the hook just because we don't see them. Hello. Are you with me? We're not off the hook just because we don't see them. We know they're there, and we want to be blessed by God. Amen?
Amen?
So we have to respond to the need. The challenge is this. You were a slave. You were redeemed. You're going to harvest, so leave something behind. Don't eat all your grapes. Don't eat all your olives. Don't eat all your bread. What is he saying? Don't use all your money on yourself, is what he's saying. You get money, it's not for you to use it all on yourself. When I get money, it's not for me to use it all on myself. I am blessed so that I can be a blessing, so that I can bless someone else in my life. Let's make sure we do that. Amen? In our lives, stand with me. It's okay that you applaud, but stand with me. Hallelujah. When we do those things, here's the great news. When we do those things, the promise of God is that you get blessed more.
Yes.
But not just for yourself. You get blessed so that you can be even more of a blessing. That's God's plan. And never do I then need to say, why doesn't God do something about this situation? Because God's answer is always going to be, why don't you do something about it? You're the answer. You're who I gave. The church is the solution. The church is the answer. Come on. If we can't wait for the politicians to work it out. All they're going to do is fight with each other forever over what's the right way and the wrong way or anything like that. We can't wait. If we wait for the Republicans and Democrats to figure it out, we'll be in here till we all drop dead. Nothing's going to happen. We're the church. We're the church. We're not politicians, right? We give to meet needs. We help those who are in lack. That's who we are. We respond because we've been blessed. We've been blessed. Let's bow our heads across this room. Here's the thing that I don't want to happen today. I don't want to preach this message and then we walk out in the lobby and get Rita's and we leave and forget we ever heard it because the icy is so delicious in our mouth. I want you to get in your heart right now, God, how am I doing with helping those who are less fortunate than myself? Who can I go visit? God, what need could I give to help meet? Maybe there's someone you know. Maybe it's just going to mean giving to an organization that's doing good work. Be careful who you give to. You make sure you give to where you know they're being good stewards, where good things are happening when you give to things like that. Make sure that you're doing that with them. But God, where can I give? Who can I help, God? You bless me. How can I be a blessing, God, so that you can bless me so I can continue to be a blessing? Speak to our hearts right now, I pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Remind us of someone, Lord God, that needs some help. Lay on our heart, Lord God, a gift we can give. I know this isn't just about money. It's about visiting. It's about a phone call. It's about writing a letter. It's about caring. Help us to walk in this, we pray, Lord God. You've been good to us. You've blessed us, Lord. And we commit ourselves fully and wholly to you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord God. As God lays something on your heart, something you can do, some way you can respond, maybe it's just a softening of your heart. Maybe it's just a softening of your heart. Pray a prayer of affirmation. Say yes to God. God, if you're not feeling it, ask, say, God, give me a heart of compassion. Give me a heart of compassion. Help me to care. Jesus, you cared. You were moved with compassion. Give us like hearts, I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And continue to pour out on us that we might bless others. Lord, we thank you. I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house. I thank you for how good you've been to us in our lives. I trust, Lord God, that as we go, we'll go with your hand upon us. May we go anointed and equipped for service, Lord God. May our community be blessed today because we're in it. May our world be blessed today because we're in it. I pray that the VBS this week, Lord God, will be tremendous. I pray that kids are going to be discipled and come to know you, and families are going to be impacted through it. Bless us and strengthen us as we walk through it. Be glorified in our lives in a great way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's live for him. Amen. Let's live victoriously for him. God bless you. Walk in that. Remember, there's a treat for you in the lobby. Enjoy it. Try to maintain a little order. I hope it helps you get through a 100-degree day. God bless you. We'll see you this week. Amen.